Hello, everyone, and welcome to Raw Talks podcast with me, Sarah, together with Simba and Mark from Living with the Spirit. And we are here to offer you raw and real conversations about physical, emotional, and spiritual transformation. We are specialized in regulating the nervous system, somatic work, energetics, shadow work, and deep and unique body work. Our purpose here today is to share our journey and our teachings with conscious leaders just like you and to unlock anything that is holding you back from living a life of freedom and purpose. We are truly grateful and honored to have you with us, and let's explore.
Hey everyone, my name is Mark, and I am a practitioner at Living with the Spirit in Chiang Mai, Thailand. And for me, this hasn't been just something that I walked into. I actually started this journey on the opposite end of the practitioner. I actually came to Simba first as a client, and living, you know, the normal life, where, you know, working till exhaustion, stressing myself out. I had been through two divorces, moved around the world several times, and if you were to look at my nervous system 5 years ago, I was probably completely blue zoned, nervous wreck, and completely unaware of my own body and my own connections. And through the process of, you know, doing TRE and breath work and really taking a deep look at my own journey to better understand myself, it's kind of been a transformation process for me completely. So most people who knew me 5 years ago wouldn't even recognize me today, because I mean, I've lost a lot of weight. I've changed, like, my whole personality and my energy is different. And these are all attributed to the work that we have done together, especially TRE. And through that process of experiencing it for myself and then becoming a practitioner and now helping other people, I've kind of leaned more into the idea of helping men, because I've noticed that through my own journey, there's been a lot of resistance internally for me based on some of the preconceived societal norms that most men experience, especially if you're brought up to be like a masculine man, to portray the typical masculine traits and features. Seeking help, going to therapy, or getting any kind of help like this is really not seen as something that you would do. The macho attitude is that brush it off, I'll be okay, the sun rises tomorrow, I'll get up and do it tomorrow, and just, you know, constantly barraging yourself through life to the point of death. So I think a lot of men would rather, you know, just march forward into their grave than work through their emotional issues or their bodily connections and feelings. But I do sense that there's a large majority of men who are waking up to the idea that they can have peace and harmony and focus inside of themselves and their body and still maintain the masculinity. They can maintain, like, a strong sense of being the caregiver, the caretaker, the masculine essence that really is what the man needs the most, I think.
Cool. Okay. So can we talk a little bit more about how society deliberately blocks men from their, quote, male or masculine qualities, and that I think one of the parts of being a man is not letting society do that to them. That's part of their strength.
Yeah. Well, I think it starts from a very young age. You know, children in school, you know, they start to learn the roles of the society from teachers and from, you know, their parents and so on. And it seems like the underlying teaching, you know, most kids go to school to learn math and science and all of this, but the underlying thing that you really learn is how to obey and how to listen to others, how to follow orders. And so that kind of really strips away the masculine identity, because the true masculine wants to forge and create things and to do things in their own way, in their own path, and to lead and to disrupt and to care for other people and to innovate. And so that kind of strips away the masculine aspect of creativity in a very kind of, you know, it takes like 12 years, or, you know, from kindergarten to 12th grade, that slowly gets kind of stripped away from you. And then you enter the world typically of work, where you are subservient to a boss or to a system or to a government or to an industry of some kind. And then you kind of just chug your way through life, hoping that you can save some money along the way. And it really just strips away the man's soul, and it takes away his purpose, which is to be free and to be abundant and to cherish life. And that's kind of what we do here, is help people, especially men, reconnect with their sense of purpose that doesn't have anything to do with the traditional way of living.
Okay, so what is the name of this place here?
Oh, we're at Living with the Spirit.
Okay, perfect.
The name also means a lot about the practice that we have.
Right, okay. Well, what I want you to do is talk about, if men hear Living with the Spirit, automatically they're going to sort of pull back from that because they don't understand the practicality that happens here. So how do we get around them hearing Living with the Spirit is manly or part of male qualities as well?
You know, Simba is the one who manifested this name and brought it out. So Simba, tell us what was in your mind whenever that name came out, and how did you imagine that it would attract people?
Well, it really came to me in a vision, and I think it applies a lot to what you already have shared, you know, about science and about school and about the dogmas that you have to have everything backed up through a certain source in order to articulate an opinion or to work with a modality or to even say, this is what I believe in. Okay, what's your source on that? And when I really went through a process of self-discovery, I came to the conclusion that if you find your own compass, your own intuition, right, you start to live with your own spirit, that will guide you right. And a lot of the aspects when we look at masculine, feminine, is that people today are outsourcing their power. I'm asking you how I should feel. I go to the doctor to let me know what's going on with me, which is not necessarily a bad thing. I'm not bashing on it, but I'm saying it's about outsourcing all your decisions to other people. So living with the spirit is actually coming back to your center, and that is what's taking the decision. You connect to something deep within you that guides you forward. And how that relates to men, I would say that's the leadership part of men, that you actually a sovereign being. No one else is going in and controlling you and telling you what to do all the time. Sure, we live in community and societies, there's norms and rules, but there's also boundaries that you need to stand up and say, no, this is not okay. This is my way, and I don't accept this.
If we were to reframe this in terms of a workshop for men, and we called it Living with the Male Spirit, what is the male spirit? And how are we helping men to access that spirit here?
Well, I think the you know, living with the spirit or living with the male spirit is about living your truth. So if you can, in order to live your truth, you must first find out what that truth is. And so a lot of men aren't given the time, or they don't give themselves the time to truly find out what it is inside of them that inspires them the most, that gives them like the reason to get out of bed and drive their life forward. And that's tied directly to their sense of purpose. So a lot of men kind of are aimlessly, you know, working their lives, raising children, you know, maybe they're business owners and entrepreneurs, and they have some purpose, but I call it like the small purpose. And that small purpose is just to get by. It's like, can I pay my bills? And can I have a comfortable life? Can I have a wife? Can I have that normal, you know, life that everyone aspires for? But it doesn't resolve the need for a greater purpose. And the greater purpose is always something bigger than you are. So living with the spirit is about connecting to the great spirit of the universe, the great spirit of everything, you know, the great mystery of life, and really putting yourself out there to explore that and see how do you fit inside of the great mystery? What does the great mystery have in store for you specifically? And how can you find that within yourself and use that as a purpose vehicle to propel you forward in the rest of your life? And if you haven't discovered that, that's okay. There's still time. You're alive today. You can still find that purpose.
Okay. So in this center, what modalities do you offer that help the man living in his male spirit? How do you help bring him to that?
Well, there's quite a few things that we offer, some that are pretty beneficial for everyone, like meditation. And even men who haven't done meditation, we have like a very basic formula for how to do meditation that doesn't have dogma attached to it. And there's no religious aspect to it. It's just about connecting to your body while being silent and contemplative and breathing. It's very simple. But it really helps men to experience the deeper aspect of themselves, of which they don't always often get in contact with, which is the silent witness of everything. So that's one of the huge modalities that we start every morning off with, 6:30 a.m. meditation. It's just a great way to set the stage for the day and to build a level of groundedness that can last throughout the day.
Cool. Okay. So what other modalities do you offer here?
So we have a very unique modality called sword fighting, which you wouldn't expect to normally find at a retreat center, because sword fighting is typically kind of thought of as a violent art form, and it's usually only practiced in martial art realms.
But, and what's the value of having it here? What does it do for the men who are engaging in sword fighting?
Well, there's quite a few things that it's doing. One thing is that it's showing men that they have the ability to cause harm. And first, they have to recognize that that ability resides inside of them. So then once they recognize that they have that ability, they realize that they also have the choice of not to use it or to use it when needed. So that awareness kind of evokes something inside of the man, that protective mechanism, that ability to provide, the ability to care. But it can be a little scary if a man has never experienced that before. And so we provide a safe container using soft swords as a way to build up so that they feel comfortable with that and they get to experience it in stages. So first, like, just practice hitting, then just practice blocking, and then practice a little bit of sparring back and forth between two people in a rhythmic fashion. And so it really evokes inside of the man his innate ability to attack and defend, which is primal, but we don't often access that primal aspect of ourselves.
Simba, he just said to attack and defend. What is that from a psychological perspective or the nervous system perspective?
Yeah, it really creates an opportunity to look at the way you defend yourself, either physically or verbally or mentally and emotionally in a controlled environment. So when we have the swords, like if we talk about the sword fighting, it really provides an ample situation where we can see what is the response that comes up in this person's nervous system. And it's not so much that I interview you and ask you, how do you respond when you're stressed? Oh, I do this, I do that. I might not be aware of it because it's so habituated in me. So we really get a unique opportunity to see how does this person's nervous system relate. And we have a chance to pause it in real time, have them reflect on it and choose another way out of it. And then when we do sessions by session like this, we actually start to change that pattern in their nervous system because they can see it, they can work with it, and they have an experience of doing something else.
Great. Okay. Wonderful. Okay. So what's another modality that's offered here that you think men would really benefit from and even be attracted to?
Howdy, y'all. This is Mark here at Living with the Spirit. And I just want to let everyone know that this is the last year that we're going to be offering retreats at the farm. You've seen the pictures, you've seen the videos, you've heard the testimonials, you know what it's like. And so don't miss out on this once in a lifetime experience to come to Chiang Mai, Thailand, to visit the farm, to hang out with us for 21 days. It's an experience that will really shift and change your life forever. And you get to meet Lucky the Cat and Sammy and Sweetie and Coco, and of course, me, Sarah, and Simba along the way. So if you've been thinking about it, if you've been on the fence about it, now is the time to make that choice. If you want to learn more or talk to us about this opportunity, reach out to us or DM us. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks.
Well, for me, one of the modalities that that has really worked well for me personally and that I continue to develop to this day is the ice bath. And so, you know, you've probably seen, you know, Andrew Huberman, a famous scientist, talk about the benefits of it, and Russell Brand and all these people who are doing ice baths, Wim Hof, of course. And we really appreciate all of those approaches and appreciate the benefits that it's raising awareness about ice baths. But the approach that we take is a nervous system approach, of course. And we encourage people to really feel deeply into their body the sensations of fear or anxiety or panic that might come up through the process of dipping your body down into the ice water. And from that panic state, we guide people to breathe and feel the body instead of going straight up into the blue zone, and so that they don't experience it. And that is a very powerful method for people to experience, because a lot of times the traditional nervous system approach to any kind of panic is to immediately leave the body and to, you know, blue zone out. So we guide people to feel the body during the ice bath. So this gives them a whole new experience. Even if they've done Wim Hof for 5 years or they've done ice bath a million times, the way that we do it is a little bit different. And we find that people get like a revelation experience. They learn something new about themselves and about their responses and their reactions. And maybe Simba can share more about this, because he's the one who actually kind of taught me this method for myself.
Yeah, it's quite similar to the sword fighting when we look at it, that you actually get the stress response and you get to work with it in real time. But we do so in a way that the client or the person stays in their body, that they don't go into dissociation, they don't go into blue zone. They actually allow themselves to stay present as they're feeling panic, as they're feeling stress. And this allows them just that feeling of, wow, I can actually do it, the sense of accomplishment, right? And that usually kicks the dopamine levels up quite a lot. Not in that addictive way as eating food or so on, but actually it's a sense of completion. I could do this. I managed to do this. And from there, we can build upon that skill. We can build upon that experience in all the other sessions that we teach.
Okay. We're going to cut for a second. I need a video of all three of you, including Eric, going into the cold bath and coming out of it. So I need like a 15-second clip of that, because I need to intersperse that here.
I'm going to let the cat out.
Okay.
I've got a video I recorded actually just yesterday of me going into the ice, so you can have that one.
Oh, great. Okay. Yep. Give me that. Perfect. Yeah. And I'll do the other two, because we spoke about it for about 5 minutes. So I want to have about three clips that I can put in there, constantly changing the scene to keep people's attention. Okay. Yeah. All right. So what other methods do you do here that would be beneficial for men in particular, and you think they would like participating in it?
Well, Simba and I both offer private sessions around body work. And so most men have experienced like a massage. And so a massage is a gentle way to feel the pressure of the body and to have someone else, a practitioner or a body worker, to get into the tissues. But usually it's kind of a light touch experience. I mean, there are different types of massages, of course. But what we offer are a couple of very unique energetic practices. And, you know, we try not to call them a massage, but, you know, you're laying on a table and there's a body worker on top of you working with your body. And so I'll let Simba talk about what he offers, but I offer a unique practice called Loban Pai, which comes from our teacher, Luhan Matus. And Loban Pai is actually a larger series of like Tai Chi movements, Kung Fu movements. And the bodywork aspect of that is all about awakening the qi energy inside of the body, but doing so in a very, very vigorous way. So there's a lot of shaking the body, there's pulling up and releasing of the fascia, pushing the body, putting the elbow into circular rhythmic motions in the back of the body. So it's kind of like this head to toe revitalization of the fascia, of the qi energy, of the blood flow, of the lymph system. So it really just kind of like shocks the body a bit, because it's unlike any other bodywork experience that you might normally achieve. So I think that this kind of experience is necessary for men, because men kind of need a little bit of a like a shakeup in order to really experience the body. And so they need that pressure, and they need that that vigorating experience to feel the deeper aspects of themselves beyond just the surface level of the first layer of tissue.
That was excellent. Good. Okay, Simba, what do you want to say about the bodywork that you offer?
I like to offer a range of different bodyworks, because it's all from what Mark said, in more vigorous, invasive styles, which is good, because sometimes we have protective mechanisms, barrier that are accumulated over years. Like we talked about in the beginning, men should be in a certain way, you should do this. All the rules and norms that we have in society can create tension in the body, because your body knows if this is true for you or not. Your mind might tell you this is true because everyone else says it. So we start to run our lives through our mind. But when you actually go into your body actually doesn't like it. So sometimes we need something a little bit more invasive to go through and connect to the body. So I work with both deep fascia work, sports massage, Swedish classic, to craniosacral therapy, Reiki, which is more energy-based. And the idea when I do body work is really to bring the awareness back into the client's body, to develop a relationship with your body and connect with it. Because myself included, when I started with this, even being a body worker many years, I was very disconnected from my body. I was connected to the idea of how it feels like and how my body should be. But once I really started to connect to it, I went, oh, this is not really how I think. You know, it was a big discrepancy from my idea of how it is to be in the body and actually have the experience of being in the body. And I think if you really want to make a change and you want to live at your fullest potential, there is no other way. You cannot do it from your mind. You have to be in your body. And you can look at, you know, gladiators in Rome. They had body workers, people work on them, samurais into Japan, every warrior culture, any lineage like that, everyone know how important it was to own the body. I come from martial arts background, and that's really what we do. We own the mind, body, and spirit. So the way that I came into body work was because I had a lot of injuries in martial arts, and I wanted to learn how to overcome them. But through body work, I learned, this is actually interesting. I want to go deeper into this and discover more facets of myself and what the body can do when you start to connect to it on a deeper level. So I have both soft style and hard style. It can be very light touch, and it can be very invasive, and it can be different tools that I use for different purposes to open up the body. It really depends on who comes to me. And one of my specialties is injuries. Especially if they're quite severe. People have quite severe injuries and they can't really recover from it. I have developed a knack for that to work with it and just listen to the body, and it will show you how it wants to heal. But it might just take you a bit of time to step back from your ego and actually listen to what it wants to do.
Okay. You also do nada and the
acupuncture. Yeah.
Could you explain both of those in just a minute? And
sure.
I'll impose the videos that I have already as you're explaining it.
Of course. So the nada is ear acupuncture. It's a microsystem of acupuncture, which means we're only working with the ear. And through the ear, there's points, acupressure points that are stimulating organs in your whole body. So when we work with nada, we have 5 points that we want to work with. We want to work with the sympathetic nervous system. We want to work with anxiety and the main detoxifying organs of the body, lung, liver, and kidneys. So it's really to relax the body and to get the body to let go of toxins. And the myofascial scraping tools that I use is really to create space between the skin, the muscles, the fascia, the fat tissues, and circulation in the cardiovascular system and the lymphatic system. So it's really like, if you imagine this mat is here, if this mat's been lying there for years, there's not a lot of air underneath. There's not a lot of space, and the human body can get the same. So when I use cups or scraping tools, we start to create a little bit of space, which augments the circulation of all tissues and make you feel more. You'll be more connected to your body and you feel better. After a while, usually you might feel a little bit of taxed after the session, but you will feel better afterwards, more energized, more loose, and more into your body.
Okay, perfect. One more thing, Mark, you have to tell us about your sound. Do you call it sound therapy?
Or sound clean.
Okay, so go ahead and just describe that for us as an offering to men, and why do men resonate with it? Why is it helpful for men?
Yeah, so in the realm of sound healing and sound baths, there's kind of two different camps. One is just plain sounds, which is meant to stimulate the hearing and the intellectual centers. So that kind of sound bath is just nice and relaxing. The sound bath that I offer is a little bit more intrusive, that we place the bowls all around the body while the person is lying down, and even on top of the body. And so when the bowls are being played around the body, the sound waves are coming in and out and all around the whole body, almost creating kind of like this cave or cavity of sound. And it's also an invigorating experience that most men haven't experienced. But it allows you to also experience the more subtle energies, because when I touch you with my hand, you can understand that the pressure you're feeling is coming from my hand. But if I ring a bowl next to your body and you feel the vibrations coming in and out, you can't necessarily understand so deeply the physical aspect. So you start to realize that, hey, there are other types of energies in the world that affect my body because I can experience it directly. And so the sound healing method helps men to experience the subtle energies. And if they truly are relaxed during the experience, they can have visions, they can have downloads, they can experience new aspects of their body. They might even start to tremor. And as the practitioner, I look for the different changes in the body and I move the bowls around or change the melody that I'm playing to help kind of bring something new or a new experience that they might have in the body. And so usually it's a very awakening experience for the people and for men especially.
Okay. Is there anything else we need to say to help this be attractive to men?
I think we haven't talked too much about the other model. I mean, TRE, obviously, we practice TRE here, that's...
Oh, well, you're going to have to explain that a little bit too.
Yeah. So, I mean, the way you can practice TRE is multifaceted, right? I like the way we look at TRES. It is a way to invoke the tremor mechanism and also to have the awareness of what is it that happens in your body, in your mind, and in your nervous system. Because naturally, if you're nervous, if something, if there's like a loud sound, if there's a stress in your life, maybe you're going to take a test or you're sitting in a traffic jam somewhere, and you might start to tap somewhere. It's just a natural way for your body to release tension and stress. And what I like about TRE is we really allow us to go into that. It doesn't just happen spontaneously. We can actually choose to go into that aspect of our body, which allows stress to come out in a natural way. And for me, it was really, as I said, I was body worker for many years. It was really a way of going, what is going on? because the body really starts to act on its own. And it was very changing for my belief systems in terms of, I think I was running everything from here. And all of a sudden I can start to notice, wow, the body has its own personality, its own traits, its likes, its dislike. And it can communicate with me through this modality, right? And I think another thing that was really inspiring as a man was that I didn't have to go in and talk about emotions. I didn't like to sit and talk about emotion, expose myself and feel vulnerable, or go into the stories and endless explanation of why this happened and so on. I got the same effect. It goes go into my body and the tremors naturally let that go. So I think that is a very attractive quality when it comes to TRE for men. And especially with interventions, when once you've done a little bit of tremors and you can self-regulate, because yeah, the interventions, especially what you showed us, David, and that we practiced throughout the years, yeah, just bring us to new levels, you know. Maybe Mark can talk more about that with the intervention you got the other day, but it's just another level of connection to yourself that is very hard to get through intellectual knowledge or going to the gym today.
Yeah, I think you're right about that, Simba. Just experiencing the body, you know, in TRE, just kind of laying on the mat and not having any specific agenda. I'm not trying to solve a particular problem. I'm not trying to talk about my trauma from the past. I'm just here experiencing my body and allowing the tremors to come naturally. And just kind of this sense of amazement starts to come over you, like realizing that, like, wow, my, you know, my leg is moving or my shoulder is moving, but I'm not consciously doing that. So what is doing that? And for me, it kind of makes me wonder that, you know, like I mentioned earlier, that mystical aspect that is missing in our lives. And it connects you to that experience that there's something more to life that is also inside of my body, and I'm experiencing it right now. And I think that's powerful for men to experience.
That was a powerful statement. Very, very good. Okay. I think we captured it. Anything else that you guys think we need to say?
We do have more modalities in that sense. I think the main other modality that we have that can be worth mentioning is breathwork, that we have a conscious connected breathwork tool that really ties all the other modalities together, because it's similar to TRE, similar to ice bath, similar to spiritual sword fighting, that it challenges the ego, the egoic mind, in a way where, similar to when we do interventions in massage or body work or in TRE, if you have a tension and you press into it, after a while it releases and there's something there on the other side. But what breathwork does, it actually helps you to do that mentally and emotionally as well. So it helps you to go through your mental and emotional barriers, much similar to what we can do with other modalities. And yeah, for me, it was very life-changing to start work with that, because there's, you know, every aspect of your body needs breath, right? And if you can become aware of it and you can work with it consciously, there's a breathing pattern for anger, for sadness, for anxiety. If you can start to work with those patterns and have that clear out of your lungs, whenever you go into meditation, to TRE, to ice bath, whatever it is, I'm just more aware of it. And it brings better self-regulation, resilience, and it really connects you deeper to yourself. And I think it's definitely something that is growing more and more. You know, Wim Hof is doing his breathwork. There's a lot of different breathwork styles today. And what I think distinguishes us a little bit is that we really focus on the awareness of the nervous system and how you bring yourself back, and also to be aware of what happens as you're breathing. Not that you have to check in with your grounding number when you're breathing, but that you have an awareness of it. It's not just an escape and hopefully I feel better. I'm actually aware of what's happening as I'm breathing, and I start to travel into a memory or into body pain or out of body or whatever it is that happens to you during the session.
Okay. All right. We're done, guys. That was great. Really good stuff.
Well, should we mention the ego dismantling aspect?
Of course. Powerful. Of course.
Yeah, so another modality that we developed here is something called ego dismantling. And ego dismantling is especially beneficial for men because, well, you've all heard about this thing called the ego. And what I discovered through my own process of working with my own ego is that the ego is highly misunderstood. And even the term egoic and egoism comes from only one school of thought around the ego. So Sigmund Freud is the most popular psychologist when it comes to studying the ego. And so when you say that someone is being egotistical, what you're really saying is that they're being selfish or self-centered. But what I like is Carl Jung's expression of the ego. And he says that the ego is just a reinforcing mechanism of whatever you believe about yourself. So if you believe that you are the center of the universe, then your ego is going to reinforce that. And so then you might portray yourself as someone who is selfish. But if you believe in compassion and goodwill towards all creatures in life on this earth, then your ego is going to reinforce that. So the ego isn't necessarily selfish or not selfish. All it does is reinforce what you believe about yourself. So our ego dismantling process goes beyond the ego into the deeper layers of your identity beliefs. And through my own work of working through my own ego and identity beliefs, I've discovered that there are 9 thieves to emotional sovereignty. And everyone experiences hindrances with these particular thieves. There are things like fear or wearing a mask or having shame and guilt. Or avoidance and distraction of all of those things and pretending like everything's fine. So in order to work through those identity beliefs, we use a method called EFT, which stands for Emotional Freedom Techniques, which is tapping on the meridians of the body while speaking out loud so that we can communicate directly with the nervous system to shift those identity beliefs. So it's a process that I've used on myself a lot that we've developed into a full-blown modality that I now use and teach others to work with their own egos or the deeper identity beliefs that the ego supports.
Wow, that was really good. Okay, I love that. Okay, anything else?
Thank you so much for tuning in. And please send us a DM for any questions, inquiries, or consultations. Please follow us on YouTube, on Instagram, on Facebook, and on LinkedIn. And please visit our website, livingwiththespirit.com, to read more about us and what we do. And remember, freedom and purpose is your birthright. Lots of love.